This morning, our scripture reading is Romans 12, 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassion in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God of revelation, mere flesh and blood cannot reveal divine truth. Only your spirit can give that gift. Be in my breath and my voice. Be in our ears and understanding, that through these words, your word may be known. So for my choir folks, they can't see the picture that you can see, so I have printed it out so that they can have a look, because it's kind of important. So I wanted to thank you again for giving me the time to travel to Guatemala with the World Mission Institute and the Pittsburgh Seminary. It was a trip filled with beauty and horror, joy and sadness, comfort and shame. We heard a lot of personal stories about the difficulties that have been experienced by the Guatemalans, but we also got to see various ways that God is present and working in the people there. I joked with the choir earlier this week that Guatemala is likely to be my CrossFit when it comes to sermons from now on. For those of you who have not been here before, we had a minister who used a lot of CrossFit illustrations for her sermons. Our host while we were visiting was an organization called CEDEPCA. That's an acronym. It's a CEDEPCA. And in English, it stands for the Protestant Center for Pastoral Studies in Central America. They organized everything. Like, I didn't have to think about anything from day to day. I had a schedule, but it didn't matter. If I looked at it, I was going to where they were taking me anyway. They organized all of the transportation and the visits and meals and hotels, an interpreter and guide. They organized all the talks and the studies just throughout the trip. We were well taken care of. Now, the mission of CEDEPCA is transforming lives and realities in Central America by training, accompanying, and calling women and men from diverse Christian traditions, communities, and contexts to spaces for reflection. The guiding scripture is a modification of Romans 12:2. And it says, living towards God's new creation requires transformation of minds. Now, what we read was the New Revised Standard Version, which says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I will say that I went to Guatemala thinking I had a very basic idea of what it was like there. But I also recognized, you know, I needed a little more information and the experience and like talking to real people. And with some of the research that I did beforehand, I knew that the country had been ravaged by 36 years of war, violence, rampant poverty, and government corruption. And I may have only been there for a very short time, but my head is still just swimming with all that I heard and saw. So the first day, we went to Plaza de Constitución, and that is the largest plaza in the country. It's located within Guatemala City. It's just like a large square. It's on one side is the National Palace. There's the Cathedral of Guatemala, the Gate of Commerce, and the National Library. And it was a Sunday, so there were a lot of families and tourists milling about. Vendors were all over the place with, selling food and wares and bird seed, because evidently there weren't enough pigeons there. As we started walking and we looked across the square, we noticed this very large circle of wooden crosses that were cemented in planters. And we got a little closer, we noticed this plaque embedded in raised cement. And the plaque reads, "Justice for the Girls of Guatemala. In memory of the 41 girls murdered at the Virgin of the Ascension Safe House. This space is renamed the Plaza of the Girls of Guatemala, March 8th. We don't forget that the state did it." The Virgin of the Ascension Safe House was an orphanage. It was built just outside of Guatemala City, and it was to house abandoned or orphan children, as well as children with disabilities and other problems, teens who had been in legal trouble but had worked off their sentence, but they had nowhere else to go. They were institutionalized there by the state after they were found to be in homes where they were abused by family members or forced into prostitution or experiencing homelessness. Even though this building was built to hold about 350 youths, there were about 700 to 800 children housed in the building at any one time. And they were separated into different areas based on age and gender. And you might guess that it wasn't very pleasant there. There were countless reports of abuse, sexual and physical, as well as a human trafficking network recruiting children in this safe house. And nobody did anything about it. On March 7th, the residents protested. A group of teens climbed up onto the roof, and they were threatening guards and staff. And during all of that commotion, 85 other residents escaped and ran into the surrounding woods. Most of them were captured and returned to the home. But they were separated from the general population because, you know, they didn't want any trouble. The boys were separated and they were sent back to their dorms. The girls were separated and 51 of them were locked into a 13 by 13 square foot room with mattresses but no blankets. And the door was guarded by national police. In the morning, the girls couldn't even leave the room to use the bathroom. So about 9 a.m. on March 8th, a fire broke out in the room. The cause is unclear. It's likely that the girls started the fire in protest. Regardless, the guards did not let the girls leave the blazing fire. Ultimately, 41 girls between the ages of 14 and 17 were killed by the fire. And 3 days later, people took to the streets protesting against the negligence, corruption, and ineptitude of the government while chanting, "It was the state, and it wasn't an accident, it was an execution." When I first heard this story, I was thinking, wow, like, when did this happen? Does anybody want to guess what year this happened, or even decade? 2016. It wasn't in the 80s. It wasn't in the 90s. It was 5 years ago. A year later, in 2017, a memorial with 46 steel crosses with the names of the victim were set up in a circular pattern up in the National Plaza. And the plaque was cemented into the floor, the ground. And that memorial has been destroyed and vandalized multiple times in the last 5 years. Sometimes it was by the government. Sometimes it was by local citizens. But it keeps being re-erected. Even when we visited, it was obvious that there were several crosses that were missing. The plaque that was originally embedded into the ground was smashed. And so they got another plaque and they raised up the cement and they put it in so it was more difficult. And this memorial, that's a pretty powerful image that has stuck with me. And I'll admit, it was real hard to see God while I was listening to this account. The visit to the plaza showed me just how deeply patriarchy and misogyny is embedded in the culture. The story showed me the extent to which women are treated as second-class citizens. Little recourse to address domestic violence and abuse. It's difficult to obtain an education. And the government and honestly, a lot of the people want to cover up the events of March 8th, 2016. But the feminists and women and children advocacy groups, they won't let it go. And as I learned more throughout the week about the things that SEDEPCA is doing, changing the minds of men and women by sharing how women are necessary, they're a necessary and beloved part of God's creation. As I saw what they were doing with that, it became easier and easier to see how God is at work in Guatemala. SEDEPCA, through the programs and projects that it offers, are truly living towards God's new creation by transforming minds. I think think we all want to see God, and we all want to be part of God's new creation. But I also think we often look for God in the wrong places. We look for that perfect church. Often it's we think it's going to be that really large one with a whole bunch of programs. We seek out God in these spectacular supernatural experiences like miracles or unique callings. Some of us have even just given up looking for God in the outside world. We seek him by turning inward and just shutting out the rest of the world filled with hostile people. And I'm sure that some people have seen God in those places and in those experiences. Because as you are all well aware, as you have learned, God is everywhere. God is here. But I also think that sometimes we forget to look for God in those ordinary, everyday spaces that we occupy. I think we often forget that God is most apparent through the compassion we share with and witness in the people around us. Sedepka is teaching people through scriptures and experiences that when we honor the goodness in others, we're recognizing and honoring God. We're recognizing and honoring that we all belong to one another. We're participating in living towards God's new creation when we step away from the culture that surrounds us and transforms our mind. And we can do that here and now. And the people of Guatemala are doing that now, today. And I'm just so thankful that they were there to tell their stories, to transform my mind, to invite me in to God's new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.